Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Welcome to the Seahawkers Podcast with your host, Adam Emmert.
I'm so sick of the travel narrative. You sit in a chair in the sky for like, you know, half a day. The miracle of flight. It's not exactly difficult.
And Brandon Schultz.
He's at that Skip Bayless level of media attention. So it's not like us talking about him gives him any more of a platform than he already has.
Go Hawks!
On a quest to own the West, yippee-ki-yay, we make the ground shake, on game day 12-man, yay, feeling it is vital.
Welcome to the Seahawkers Podcast. I'm Brandon Schultz of Military Seahawkers, and joining me, my good buddy Adam Emmert.
That's good to be here today with you, Brandon, coming off the bye week this last week and going into the Thursday night game against the Rams.
I thought James Muir put it pretty well. He said, disappointed there was no Seahawks game today, but hey, I think this is the first team in history that has gotten three byes in a single year. A strange development, but who are we to question the NFL head office? You know, looking forward to watching the Hawks on Thursday night against the Rams.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, NFL. No, I appreciate the Seahawks and coming in with a bye this last week. I put as much preparation into today's show as the Seahawks did this last week.
Well, I think I watched as much tape of the last game as the team did as well against exactly. The Packers. Man, a 28-point loss. Mm-hmm. To the Green Bay Packers, 38-10, the worst loss that we've seen of the Carroll era going back to 2010 when they lost at home to the Giants when Charlie Whitehurst was quarterback.
Right.
Jeez.
Was he quarterback on Sunday?
It looked like it.
A little bit.
Either that or Jay Cutler was wearing a Russell Wilson mask, one of the two.
Something bad happened there.
Bad happened because it was Russell Wilson's worst day. 240 yards. He had a touchdown, but five interceptions. And it felt like he was off from the very beginning. He was overthrowing guys and then it just carried over to missing guys. You know, Jimmy Graham got pulled down and got picked off mm-hmm. on a throw to him and just not sharp by Russell all day.
No, not sharp. And one of those picks should have been a pass interference, in my opinion. A lot of people might argue that point. I really, truly felt like that looked like PI to me.
Sure.
But again, I mean, that's not why we lost this game.
No.
But it's one of the reasons why we throw picks. I mean, Doug Baldwin's face mask threw a pick. So there's that. But I think what was really stark was the idea that early in the game, you saw Aaron Rodgers complete a bomb for that first touchdown.
Right.
And then the very next drive, the Seahawks start moving the ball and Russell misses Baldwin on a bomb down the sideline. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, okay, then they march it back down the field.
They get a field goal, yeah.
You're like, oh, they didn't punch it in, but okay, you know, next drive, and the next drive comes along, and Jimmy Graham springs open for what would be a surefire touchdown, or at least get you right down in there,
right.
And sails that one too, and you're like, oh, Russ is just off today. But at the end of the day, this is one that you literally just throw out, because you're never as bad as your worst game. You're never as good as your best. The truth lies somewhere in between there, and we know that's not what this team is.
Yeah, a lot of speculation as to why Russell wasn't up to game form.
Oh, really?
I always go back to, you know, the no time to sleep comment. Mm. The sleep has got to catch up with you. You know, the no sleep has to catch up at some point.
He was drowsy? Is that basically what you're saying?
I have no explanation. But okay. I do have one explanation for why we lost. And so because we do have folks take credit for the loss when the Seahawks do go down. Oh,
because do you want to get into them first? Because this is legitimately my fault.
Legitimately your fault?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
So I brought the lucky hat up from Missoula. I'm now up in Kalispell. We're doing this live, face to face.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So as I do the Santa Claus pictures in the Kalispell Center Mall, and I left the house Sunday morning, and I had a lot on my mind. We'd run out of a few supplies, knew I was going to have to run some errands, and I left the lucky hat Ooh. At my parents' house. Now, that's not the worst part. I had no other Seahawks gear on. So I there's been other games I have not worn the lucky hat and we've been okay, but I've also had on at least one of two other pieces,
yeah, like a Hustle Like Russell shirt.
Yes, or my other hoodie that is gross and it's got holes in it and everything now, but it's also, you know, it's got some good juju, right? Mm-hmm. So I had none of the
none
articles,
of the juju,
none of the articles. So we're going down right now. It's starting to get you know, multiple scores for the Packers here. So I panic and I leave the Santa booth and I go down to the sports shop in the mall, and there's a line, and I grabbed the first hoodie, Seahawks hoodie I could find. And I ran to the front of the line. People gave me the evil eye, dude. And I was like, you don't understand. This is an emergency. I left the lucky hat at home. I need to buy this now. Like, you got to understand. And it's playing. The game is playing over the speakers. And Aaron Rodgers throws another touchdown. So then I look at the gal. She's like, oh, okay. So she starts ringing me up. I hurry up. I yank it back out of her hands, tear the tags off, immediately, like, strip down in the middle in front of everybody and just put on the hoodie. Just don't even care. Walk out. And, then the game just unravels even more. Mm. And by the time the game's over, we're just starting to shut down Santa. And so I walk back to the sports shop only to find them closed, because I was going to return this piece of catfish hoodie that I bought.
It definitely didn't work. You know, you weren't the only one that offered up some bad juju. Our Washington Lieutenant Governor-elect Cyrus Habib says, I jinxed us, and so I take full responsibility for the Green Bay versus Seattle game. Is it? And back in November, he tweeted at the Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor, said, thanks so much. Looking forward to reuniting at the National Lieutenant Governors Association. Doesn't look like we'll be betting on the NFC title this year. So, he was already calling a shot that Green Bay was stinking, and it came back to bite it. And so I think it's a little bit refreshing to see politicians owning up to their mistakes.
I like that. Thanks.
And so hopefully the lieutenant governor elect learns from this.
Well, so it's very much like when you don't call victory when we're up like 21-3 in the second quarter.
Right.
Right. Yeah, you got to wait.
You do have to wait.
Yeah.
He did come back and say, though, that he's going to make a $38 contribution to the podcast as atonement for taunting his Wisconsin counterpart earlier this season. But I don't know. Accepting a donation based on the opponent's score, I think, feels a little dirty. But
no, it feels good to me. Yeah, it does. In fact, I declare Cyrus's chakra now cleansed.
His chakra is now cleansed. Well, I was thinking 38 is two Tanner McAvoys, and two Tanner McAvoys is as good, you know, better than one.
Yeah.
And Tanner McAvoy was he brought us the one highlight this week with the touchdown catch.
Three receivers, far side, four-man rush. Russell steps up. He's going to throw down the sideline, making the catch in the end zone. Touchdown, Seahawks! Is Tanner McAvoy as nice a pass as Russell has thrown all night? Outside, back shoulder, McAvoy reaches up in the Wisconsin product, hauls it in for a 21-yard touchdown reception to make the score 31-9.
Yeah, that's about it. I laugh because there's not much more else to say. Now, one thing I saw interesting, Dave Bloomquist on Facebook, I think, you know, he had a picture of Hasselbeck in the old jersey, like getting pummeled and just, he's like, hey, you know, for all of you folks that are new fans, like, this sort of thing happens.
And happened a lot.
It happened back in the day. Yeah. So I'm not nearly as shell-shocked as maybe others who've maybe just become fans since the Russell Wilson era has taken effect. But these things can happen, you know.
Well, speaking of the Russell Wilson era, this is going to be interesting to see how Russell Wilson bounces back after this week, because a 28-point loss, this is his worst loss since college, and not just at the tail end of his college career. Mm-hmm. Early on, it wasn't since he was a sophomore at NC State, where I think they got blown out by Clemson back in 2009.
Wow.
That's how long it's been for Russell Wilson to be that far out of a game. In every game as Wisconsin quarterback his senior year, and almost in, you know, near in every game his last year at NC State. So this is a quarterback that tends to stay in games. You just don't see him get blown out like this. And especially with the Seahawks defense, it kind of surprising that if you would have told me that the Packers would have put up 38 points after Earl Thomas went down, I would have said that made a huge difference. But really, I mean, Stephen Terrell, they hardly tested him at all. It was all those picks and having a short field that really led to Green Bay putting up the points.
If you turn the ball over six times and somehow lose by less than 30,
Yeah.
You probably did okay. And in fact, I thought I saw a stat, and I wish I would have looked it up, but again, I didn't do any preparation in honor of the Seahawks this week. But the Seahawks had maybe a little bit more, a couple more yards in total offense. You know, there was a few other stats.
Hawkblogger tweeted out after the game the side-by-side stats of these two teams.
Yeah.
And Seahawks, you know, it was nearly identical on each side of the ball.
Right.
But the turnovers, it was the difference.
That was the difference. Now, a lot of people sit here and we've blamed the offensive line for many games, correct?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you can blame the offensive line for Russell Wilson's performance in this game. This was Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson lost this game.
Yeah. No doubt. I will say, though, that the offensive line isn't without blame. They looked like their standard offensive line, which isn't great. But when they
didn't
have,
look as bad as they say did against Tampa.
Well, no, or Tampa. The Rams, as bad as it gets.
On the games that like you looked at it, and Russell had a crap game.
Yeah.
But you were like, oh yeah, because
of the O line.
Right. This was the type of game that Russell should be able to play through.
Right.
At his standard.
Right.
That he's given us. The standard that he's given us. So I'm not judging him. I'm not trying to be a
catfish.
I'm just judging him by the own standard that he has set for himself. And he fell far below. This is one of the worst performances I've ever seen as him as a quarterback. And I mean, even the last Green Bay game or the NFC Championship Green Bay game where he threw a bunch of picks. And it was reminiscent in that, in the sense that some of those picks just weren't his fault. I mean, there's just days where, I mean, and we've all woke up that way, right? You get out of bed. First off, you stub your toe. Mm-hmm. You turn on the sink in to brush your teeth and the drain's clogged. And then you go out and you back your car out of the garage and hit the garbage can. And then your boss comes in and yells at you for something your coworker did. And then you come home and your wife burns dinner. You know, like
everything went wrong.
Everything goes wrong. And that's just what it was today. Mercury was in retrograde. Like, I didn't wear my lucky hat. You know, Cyrus made bets that he shouldn't have. Like, I mean, this is, you know, calling a shot. This is what happened. It's just a bad day.
I want to know if this team is done with wake up calls, because we thought the wake up call was the Tampa Bay game. And then we came back, we bounced back, and a great game against Carolina, put up 40 points, hadn't seen a 40 point output in quite a while. And now we're back to saying, oh, well, I hope this is a wake up call. Stop hitting the snooze button.
Hey, I'm never going to tell somebody stop hitting the snooze button, man. That is like my favorite button on the world. That's better than the easy button from Staples easily. Now, look, as far as the wake up call thing, that's stupid. I don't even want to hear it. I know Richard Sherman wrote something about, oh, this is the way, whatever, dude. You don't need any of that. You're a professional athlete. That's not what this is about. Look, they came out unfocused and they got smoked. That's the long and short of it. Plus, the ball just wasn't bouncing their way that day. And Aaron Rodgers was on fire. That was easily the best that he's looked. And I understand that the defensive line didn't really pressure him a ton, but they did make him move off his spot, right? I mean, they did make him move around, and he did Aaron Rodgers things.
Yeah.
He had one of his vintage performances, and you're just going to run into that some days. All you hoped was that your quarterback was going to have one of his days. Mm-hmm. And instead he had bizarro Russell day, you know, and that it's just going to happen. I mean, Tom Brady's had bad games, you know, where he's throwing a crap ton of picks. And I mean, I remember, what was it? Two seasons ago against the Chiefs. And everybody was wondering, is it the end of the Tom Brady era?
Yeah. And then they came back and won the Super Bowl.
Yep. I remember Peyton Manning throwing 5 picks against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do?
Yeah.
Won the Super Bowl that year.
It's not indicative of where a team is going. And I do want to talk about what this means to the Seahawks playoff chances. But you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, man. 18 of 23. He was just on fire. 246 yards. He had 3 touchdowns. A quarterback rating over 150. Just an incredible day. And on a bum hamstring, too. Mm-hmm. I wish we could have gotten a better pass rush on that Packers offensive line. The one thing that's concerning me about the defense is the pass rush. To only have 1 sack in the last 3 games, you're still getting pressure, but it just doesn't feel like it's enough.
Well, you're going to go through highs and lows, right? I mean, this defensive line was a defensive line that really was able to get after the quarterback early in the year. You're having a lull here for 3 games. These things happen. Michael Bennett is just coming back into rotation, getting his legs underneath of him. I mean, I'm not concerned long term for the pass rush at this point. I mean, maybe guys are getting worn down a little bit, and that's part of it. But that makes it all the more important that they really focus for these last 3 games, win out, hope the Lions win or lose one, mm-hmm. and get that number 2 seed, because the bye in a home field game makes a giant difference, with the Seahawks being 2-4-1 now on the road.
That's really the difference to me, is this team needs to get some home games. And I think we can count on the Lions. Well, for one,
news on Matthew Stafford with his throwing hand, the ligaments torn in his fingers,
right,
wrist or something. Yeah.
And then Packers fan podcast guaranteed that the Packers are going to beat the Lions in week 17 already. So,
oh, well, if you say so, I didn't know.
That was the trade-off that we made.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he said that if the Seahawks, if they lose this game, we'll have your back and get the win in week 17. So that way you can get that number two seed.
Okay.
And so, yeah, with the Lions taking on the Packers still, they still have to play the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I guess Atlanta maybe having an easy schedule down the road. But the Seahawks, we have division rivals, and division rivals that haven't been looking all that great.
No, they haven't been looking great. And again, it's the Rams coming up next, and we get into that with the fellows from the Rams podcast. They were great, gracious enough to come on the show and talk a little bit of Rams. And so we'll get more to that with the Fisher upheaval. And
yeah, Jeff Fisher getting fired on Monday, really unexpected. But we'll hear from the Rams podcast on how they feel about that.
Yeah, and I'll just say briefly, I'm bummed out. It was better for our deal if Jeff Fisher was there.
But. Well, yeah, better for our deal
overall. Big picture.
I don't like losing to the Rams.
Well, I don't like it, but I like making sure that that's one less team I don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, this was such an odd game, and like you mentioned, Brandon, the Hawks did not even go back and watch game film off of this last game, right, because there was nothing to learn. There really wasn't. I mean, going back and reliving one of your worst experiences with a bunch of things that were out of your control.
Yeah.
Even all that's going to do is make you feel crappy. You're not going to gain any wisdom out of that. You know, maybe on a day that you just weren't quite at your best, but you made a few mistakes. Sure. Absolutely. You're going to learn something from that. But a day like that, there's nothing that you can get from that except to shake your confidence. And especially going on the short week, I think it was the exact right move.
Well, going back to the playoffs, I think this could set up perfectly, because if the Seahawks are able to get the number two seed, then and Green Bay can manage to win their division, then it sets up to where we have a revenge tour, to where we get the bye week. Then you have the Packers come in at the number. Well, let's see, how would they come in? They would come in as the four seed. So we'd have to have the three seed be Tampa Bay. So we would get Tampa Bay at home in the divisional round, and we exact our revenge on Tampa Bay. And then Green Bay goes into Dallas, beats Dallas in their house. Mm-hmm. And then we have a Green Bay versus Seahawks NFC championship game. We get our revenge once again. It would line up perfectly.
It would line up perfectly. And honestly, when you start talking in those terms,
it could happen.
But the idea of Tampa being the third seed, though, that's going to be the tough.
I think they have 8 wins.
Yeah, I know, but they also are behind the Falcons still.
Yeah, they went out, though. It could happen.
It could. That's the long shot part of that.
Tampa having to win out.
But the idea of Green Bay beating Dallas in the playoffs, that is not a long shot.
Yeah.
That's not a long shot at all.
Aaron Rodgers healthy, you know, and that, I think we saw from Dallas this last, on Sunday night, you know, they can be beat, obviously.
They can be beat. You know who else can be beat? DeShaun Shedd. Sean Shedd had a rough game.
Jeremy Lane getting beat for the touchdown.
Yeah.
At the outset of the game.
Oh, I know that. But basically, Rodgers really targeted Shedd heavy, you know, throughout that game. And honestly, he was in decent position a lot of times. I mean, they just were in sync that night. They were on and we were off, and that's it. I mean, I wish I could sit here and give you an amazing analysis. But
I think that's all we have to. I think so, that's as far as we have to go after this game.
Yeah. And I think the other thing about all that is I'm not worried.
Yeah,
I'm not. I'm just worried about road performances.
Right. Yeah. I worry about going on the road.
Right.
And having to perform, because after last season in the playoffs, the way they performed going into Minnesota, and I get it, it was cold. But then going on the road again in Carolina, if you have to go on the road and take on a team that's fired up, you know, a team like Dallas, if you have to go to Dallas for an NFC championship game and a crowd that fired up about going to a Super Bowl, it's going to be hard.
It could be. It could be. I think that it's still.
I do like our chances against Dallas, but not if we perform the way we have been going on the road.
Dak Prescott is not Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that's true.
Ezekiel Elliott is a great back, or is a good back, no doubt. And that offensive line is great, too. But I think we can at least go toe to toe with that. And when you're starting to put a couple rookies in charge of taking you to a Super Bowl, man, with a suspect defense on top of that, I don't believe in the Cowboys. I really don't.
And Russell Wilson may never throw five picks again in one game in his entire career.
Yeah. I mean, to double your interceptions in one game.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. And look, and that's the thing, too. Like, I mean, and Russ, I trust. You ask, how is he going to bounce back? That dude will bounce back from this.
Yeah.
And so the other question is, how does this team bounce back going forward against the Rams, coming off probably their biggest embarrassment, you know, of this iteration of the club?
It comes down to emotions a lot for me and how they perform against the Rams, because how are the Rams, you know, how do they bounce back after losing their head coach? Is that a guy that they liked as head coach? Is that a guy that they say, oh, I'm glad, thank goodness he's gone. Mm-hmm. And now we can just, you know, finish out the season and get a low draft pick. And, you know, we just don't even have to try. And it's
just keep getting them checks.
Right. Yeah. Go on, keep getting them checks. And or do they come in and they're fired up and they're playing a division rival, a team that they always get up and seem to play for, whether it's, I mean, we've only seen them with Jeff Fisher. So how do they respond with their special teams coach now as the interim coach? I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, this is one of the games I've looked at that least has X's and O's explanations to it, and most has, you know, emotional explanations and reasons for wins and losses in this. I mean, between the Seahawks being embarrassed like they were in the game of the week, quote unquote, you know, from Fox, and then having the Rams and how they react to the idea that Jeff Fisher is now gone. I think the biggest thing X's and O's wise, though, is Jared Goff being a rookie quarterback coming into the clink in December against this defense. That's a tall one.
Ah, that's tough. That's going to be tough for Jared Goff. Yeah. A rookie coming into the clink. And I would have liked to have waited until they were definitely out of the playoffs. Like Jeff Fisher said, Jared Goff would not get a chance to play until they were for sure out of the playoffs. He went back on that. And he now has a few games under his belt, at least. It would have been interesting to see him coming into an environment like this just as one of his very first road games, but it's still going to be tough for him.
Yeah, it is going to be difficult for him, especially with Gurley not having a huge year to try to alleviate the pressure. Another thing, we talked about the pass rush struggling. This is a great game for them to get right in, because the Rams' offensive line is not a great unit. They have their struggles, much like the Seahawks do. That Greg Robinson pick on their offensive line from the draft from a few years ago, when Sammy Watkins is on the table. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a bunch of dudes that can flat out ball that were there when they picked him. Was it number two?
Yeah,
I believe overall.
I think so.
That's a giant whiff, and it's a major problem for them. So look for Averill, Bennett, and Clark and company to really get their sacks on, man. I think there's going to be some houses in Haiti built this week. I really do.
Well, before we get to the Rams game with James and Bear of the LA Rams podcast, I wanted to introduce a new segment, Adam.
Oh,
this was brought up by one of our members of the flock, one of our Ring of Honor members, James Muir.
Oh,
My Drunken Logic. And if this is going to go forward, I think we need like a My Drunken Logic jingle.
Yes.
With like slurred speech and just music that, you know, that you would hear only when you're drunk.
1,000,000% in on this, and I'll tell you why. I don't know how many times I've sat at home, got drunk alone, had a really great podcast idea, and then like decided not to do anything with it. But instead, what I could start doing is I could just hit record.
Oh.
And get it out.
And then we can use it. We can play it back.
My Drunken Logic. I love this. And on top of that, all the listeners could do the same.
I know.
Oh, this is gold. I'm gonna work on My Drunken Logic for next week.
Okay, well, here's James. He says, so last night at a bar where I was discussing the game with friends, I had a smart thought. I figured out why we lost to the Packers so badly. It's the Sounders' fault. Hear me out. I propose that when they won the MLS Cup, they use all of Seattle's win credit And we all know that the only way to get to get win credit is for teams to lose. So the Hawks had to lose bad in order to earn back more credit. With this loss, I think earn back enough credit to get back to the Super Bowl. So you see, everything is good now. Go Hawks. Hashtag my drunken logic flawless.
Well, you know, I like it. The one thing that concerns me is linking Hakra to the soccer team. I don't want to do that. Even though they want
flawless, Adam.
I know it's
drunken logic is flawless.
You're right. I'm sorry. And James, this is the most beautiful idea. Credit. Yeah.
The only thing I'm thinking is the Huskies better not beat Alabama with that logic.
Yes. No. No.
Catfish.
All right. Well, let's get into the interview with James and Bear.
From the Rams 47, first and 10. Lynch, eye back. Wilson, play fake. Throwing near side. Got Tate. Makes the catch down to the 10. Down to the 5. Did he get in? He did. Touchdown, Seahawks. Run, run, run. Throw for a touchdown. That's what the Seahawks do from 47 out. And that, baby, was the nail in the coffin. The Seahawks already headed to the playoffs. Everybody's coming here this January.
And we now welcome on James and Bear from the Rams podcast. A lot of exciting news coming out from the Rams this week as we go in, as they travel up to Seattle. We got the Color Rush game between the Seahawks and Rams. And how are you guys feeling after today? I would have to imagine pretty good.
Well, we feel great. And the funny thing is we actually talked about that while we were watching the game is if Fisher gets fired, we're going to grab a bottle of tequila. We're going to do an episode and it was going to be just cheers every 5 seconds. And then today he was fired and we're like, well, do we have to,
it's Monday.
I mean, you know, we didn't expect a six pack. Yeah. How about a six pack?
You got to follow through, fellas. Come on. This is supposed to be a tequila Monday. Let's go.
I know. Well, we thought about it too. I just didn't see it coming. I think that's what really where it lays is after this whole extension talk, and even though it was at the beginning of the year, it was like they finally came out and
there's just been one letdown after the other. 2 weeks ago, before the New England game, we found out about the extension, and apparently that had been the case before the preseason even started. So there was just, you know, as bad as we performed, it wasn't quite a reality with the fan base that this was actually going to happen today. I mean, we just kind of thought they'd let the year end.
Yeah, that was really strange circumstances, the idea that they extended him in the offseason, yet somehow didn't want to announce it through the season and then announce it and then go ahead and fire him.
Yeah, they wait until Eric Dickerson kind of is, you know, calling for Jeff Fisher's head, yeah, and then they announce the extension.
But my question, guys, is where does this come from? I mean, is this a Stan Kroenke thing? I mean, is he always just going to be doing really weird things? I mean, for example, just the move from St. Louis to L.A. had a ton of drama around it. And this, you know, Fisher thing over the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks had a lot of drama around it. And apparently it had a lot of drama around it, you know, starting way back when. We also heard the rumors that him and Les Snead are at each other's throats and it was basically a cold war. I mean, where is this a culture problem that Kroenke creates, or is this something that we can look at going forward that, you know, under a new head coach that things could get cleaned up a little bit?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think it's a culture problem for sure. I think that's part of the reason why Jeff is going to be fired. And I think most of the staff will be let go as well. But you're right. From the top down, it was really awkward from the beginning. It was the extended early, but not released till after the drama. And then they didn't really stick behind it.
And they still never really officially released a statement saying that he got his extension.
Yeah, so but I think that was part of the whole reason why he got it extended early in the year. And then they, at the point they realized they might want to release them, they didn't want to say that they've extended them. So yeah, it was a big mess from the top down. I don't think there's a lot of Kroenke fans here besides that he brought the team here.
Yeah.
Other than that, he's just a billionaire that has a couple teams. He's a real estate guy. I mean, I don't think anyone truly believes he's about winning. So I think that's why everyone's really locked in on where we go from the future as far as is Les Snead a part of the future. Do we get a whole new GM? Can the coach change the environment around here? Things like that. So I think that's going to be a big part of the hire. I don't think that's why we just grabbed the first coach that's available. I think that's why they want a big name. They want one of those high profile guys to come in and really change everything, because I don't think the owner is really going to, you know, be the leader on changing that environment.
No.
Well, let's talk about who you have right now. And with now with Jeff Fisher gone, who is your guy's coach going into Thursday, and what can we expect to see?
Yeah, so we've actually got John Fossil as our new coach. And, you know, he's actually coming from the special teams.
Where we're killing it.
Yeah, we're killing it. The only highlight of our team. You know, we've got an all-pro punter. He's about to set a record. I think he needs one or two more punts down inside the 20-yard mm-hmm. line to break an NFL record. But that goes into not only the, you know, Johnny Hecker, a great punter, but the whole coverage team going down there. So it's been a strength of them. So he's comes from a coaching family. His dad, Jim, was the head coach of the Giants back in the day. So he's going to be the leader for the next three game. I think that also shows a lot about what they think about the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator and Rob Boris and Greg Williams to kind of hand them the reins. They kind of looked at him saying, you guys aren't doing really good either. So yeah. We're going to give, you know, the whistle to this guy and see what happens. So he's going to lead the team. Funny thing is, I saw him today out at practice on a video, still moving around cones, setting up the drills. Like you could tell he's not ready.
He's not got the head coach mindset.
Yeah, he's not head coach ready as far as being like, he's still thinking, hey, I got to go out and move the cones around. But I think it's going to be an interesting move. Hopefully, our special teams has always been known for kind of being a little tricky. Being a strength of our team. So we'll see how that affects some of the play calling, some of those fourth and ones that we've been dying to go for early in the season. Hopefully at this point, he just rolls the dice and goes.
You know what? We've actually have some pretty imperative special team plays against the Seahawks. If we can look back in history.
Oh, you don't say. Huh, I was just wondering. Yeah.
I don't recall any of these, you know, like Hecker touchdown passes or fake punt returns or those are fuzzy.
No, that's what makes me wonder. Did Jeff Fisher leave the binder of all the trick plays that you're using against the Seahawks? Did he leave them at his desk or did he take them with him?
You know what? I don't even think that was Jeff's binder. I'm hoping it's Fossil's binder.
And let's hope that he knows where it is, because he doesn't even know where the red flag is, or the challenge flag is in his big jacket.
Yeah, do you think he'd know where that binder's at? He's checking pockets and drawers. He has no clue.
Let's talk about what else is a little bit different from last time the Seahawks faced the Rams. And that's your quarterback. You finally got your number one pick in there at first string. How's he been looking these last few games? I know the wins have been tough to come by, but how has Jared been looking behind the offensive line?
Well, to be honest, I'm pretty impressed with what Jared's done. You have to keep in mind that he hasn't had the support that we would appreciate. By that, I mean the offensive line hasn't been great. He doesn't do a great job of dancing around and moving around in the pocket, but he has been fairly accurate. He has had a few overthrows when he's throwing off of his back foot. But, you know, when our receivers are getting hit in the chest with the ball for a first down conversion or, you know, to be on the 1 yard line or getting close to a touchdown, when the defense isn't helping you out and everybody's kind of working against you in a sense, there's not a ton that you can produce. Statistically, he's been fairly matched up with what Keenum has done, given the amount of snaps we've been able to analyze that with. But I think he's got a ton of potential. I think that he needs that offensive leader to help him develop, and our team hasn't really given him the help that he needs to be a productive quarterback. But I'm overall pretty satisfied with what Goff's brought to the table so far.
Yeah, I'd agree with James. I mean, for what we're putting him into and who's protecting him and for not being a mobile guy, I saw him do the little Russell Wilson spin out the other day. Someone's been watching some film. I liked it. I mean, it was a lot slower, but you know, he definitely was able to move around and get out of the traffic. So I was pretty excited about that. And James mentioned it. I mean, we're not getting the help of the receivers. I mean, the drop balls, I think we had six or seven last week and three or four of them were on third down. So that's just not going to help out your rookie quarterback. I mean, defense is on the field a lot. He's down a bunch. and everyone knows you're throwing. Everyone knows a rookie, so we're just seeing a lot of blitzes. But overall, I've been pretty impressed with him, and this is why I want to see him so much earlier.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see his progression this deep into the season. Now we're just like trying to pick him apart, and it's end of the year, and it's a losing team, and the defense is giving up, and things like that. So it's going to be exciting to see him come back next year, week one, and get a whole season.
New coach. And another aspect to that is the penalty situation. We're talking about not helping him out. When you're throwing a first down pass and Greg Robinson gets penalized and takes you all the way back, and that happens multiple times, it's kind of frustrating when you're making those plays happen. And just last game, we lost 100 yards in penalties. I mean, everything's going against helping him out. So
guys, a twofold question here. Number one, do you think that Jeff Fisher not playing Jared Goff early hindered his development, or do you think it helped his development? Because we saw Fisher, you know, basically make him third string early in the season and then eventually bring him along until he finally was starting. And then the second thing is, now that Goff is starting, what are the things that he's doing that you see that are real strengths? What is he excelling at, or what is he at least doing at a league acceptable average?
Well, to answer your first question, I think keeping him out was a major political move. I think Case Keenum is, you know, he did the job. He's good, but he's not great. Goff has potential. We made so many moves to get him in the number one pick. We need to throw it out there that he's our guy. And, you know, if he needs to develop, he needs to develop. But we need to give him the opportunity to prove himself. So far, like I mentioned earlier, statistically, he's pretty even with Keenum. And I think that we should have given him the opportunity to develop in the long term and to prove himself.
Yeah, I think James is kind of right there. I think political was very accurate, as far as I think Jeff was trying to save his job next year by holding on to Goff, and it really ended up to being his downfall. Because we got so bad so quick that throwing in the quarterback couldn't even distract everyone from him getting fired. So I think it was kind of political that kind of ended up backfiring in his direction, because in his head, he said, oh, we'll throw a rookie in, we're going to go 4-whatever. That's what ended up going anyway.
Right.
So I think that's kind of was their bad, that they were looking ahead thinking that would save them, but it ended up hurting them.
I think a key time in the season was when we went to London and lost. I think there's a good opportunity there to give him a full 2 weeks with the starting team
through the bye
and develop through the bye. And at that point in our season, we were still in a position to where, you know, we
could have fought for a playoff position,
could have fought for a spot, and that would have been perfect time to put him in. Yet we stuck with Case. Fisher admitted immediately after that game, when not even given a 24-hour wait, that he was going to stick with Case, and that was very questionable.
And then for your second half of the question, looking at Goff and his, you know, NFL development and things like that, I think he does have potential. You know, I mean, he's done some great things as far as he's thrown a few great balls down the field. Kenny Britt's been great with him. He's hit a lot of receivers. We mentioned it right before this with a lot of the drops. So he's had the movement in the pocket for a rookie. Hasn't been terrible. Again, we're only going off of 3-4 games here, so it's tough to kind of get a good read on him. But what I've seen so far, I'm more excited about than when I originally saw him in the preseason and all of those action that he had gotten, because he looked panicked and scared. And now he looks to have a little bit more confidence and comfortable. So maybe that is, you know, attributed to holding him out, but I think he would have gotten there anyway. And I would love to see him have, you know, 7-8 more games underneath his belt. But I think he's off to a good start. It's going to be interesting to see who they bring in to kind of, you know, kind of help develop him.
That's
along
gonna
the way
be imperative, because I think what he lacks is coachable and teachable in the NFL. I think, you know, he's got some pocket presence issues. Obviously, he does have some accuracy issues sometimes. He's got issues with the long ball. But I think where he lacks, if we put somebody in the right place, that those are aspects that can be taught and developed over time.
Yeah, he's got the base of the skills.
Well, I want to go back to something you said a little bit ago, and that's I think I heard you say that the defense has quit. Does it feel like this Rams defense has quit on Jeff Fisher?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the last 3 weeks, it's hard to say they haven't. I mean, earlier in the year when we played the Seahawks, I mean, it was our first win, and it was a defensive gain. And yeah, we kept them to 3 points. And most of our wins have been, you know, very low scoring games, and most of our losses in that fact have been in the lower scoring, and just our offense couldn't put up anything. But the last three games, I mean, just to give up those amount of points, I mean, Drew Brees and Matt Ryan, they're good quarterbacks, but you know, you can't get up an average around 40 points a game and expect to win. So yeah, I mean, when you're looking at the strength of your team and you see over the last 3 weeks that they've just really pooped out, you start to think that maybe they've given up on the coach or on the season or whatever that is. And if they have given up on the season, most likely they've given up on the coach because he hasn't been able to rally them around the concept of, you know, building for next year.
Yeah. And, you know, you had some good points. We had some really bad games defensively and some really good games defensively against some really key teams. And I think coaching could be a major factor there. Just looking at overall yards allowed this season, the Seahawks on average have only allowed 8 less yards than the Rams. So when it comes to that stat, doesn't look too bad, but concerned. Yes.
Well, the other guy I'm kind of curious about too is Todd Gurley, and we can bring up the bet in a minute, but
do we have to?
Well, they might want to.
Okay.
But just over 3 yards, just over 3 yards per attempt this year. Is that a function of teams just stacking the box and knowing that you know, they're going to test the quarterback and make the quarterback beat him, or has Gurley looked a little bit different this year?
You know, and as much as I want to get Gurley's back and say, yeah, he's going to get me a jersey on my back, he's killing it. No, it's. I think a lot's on him. You know, if you watch a lot of the, you know, game recaps and some of the highlights of his runs, and we've watched plenty of them over here, he used to do a lot of the jump cuts, finding the hole. He was aggressive in the running style. And now he's like, seems like he's nervous and he just needs to get 2-3 yards to prove the point that they need to keep running it. So he's like head down, he's going right into the back of the offense line and he's just trying to move the pile 2-3 yards.
Yeah.
He's not looking for that big hit anymore. And I think a lot comes down to his confidence. Even when he scored the touchdown when we were getting blown out, I get it. You know, you're not excited about your score, but he came with his head down. People were trying to give him high fives and stuff. He just looked like he was embarrassed that he scored a touchdown. Like he was just hurt to even be part of that play. So I think a lot has to do with him. Obviously, the offense hasn't done anything. So, yes, they've stacked the box early. But looking at it, I don't think anyone really respects him that much as far as where, you know, it's on someone else. I think it's directly on his shoulders to run with confidence and look for those holes and try to create a hole where there's not one, which he hasn't done all year.
Absolutely. And I feel so bad for everybody that picked Gurley up in the offseason for fantasy football because
awkward.
Man, what a letdown he has been. And I
picked
him
number three.
Bear. That was bare. So,
well, you know, those same people probably took Tyler Lockett too and have the same as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So you had a really good point, Bear. Like what we're seeing is Gurley is just getting the ball and running with his head down. We've seen multiple times where he's just ran right into the guard. And then you look at Cunningham getting the ball and he's moving around and dancing back there and he's a little bullet. So, you know, one stat, the largest rushing average decrease between rookie season and sophomore season, Todd Gurley's up there 5th on the largest overall decrease. So he has been more than disappointing this year in that area. So,
yeah, and you made really quick, you made a good point about Cunningham when he's had his carries in the game. He's found holes. Mm-hmm. So you look at it, and a lot goes offensive line still for not getting a push off the ball. But there's some creases there, and he's just not finding them. And that's the disappointing thing. So moving forward with a new coach, new attitude, maybe Eric Dickerson will hang out a little bit more around the team now and give him some pointers.
He's allowed on the sideline.
Well, if you owe us anything, just don't injure Thomas Rawls again. Like, let him finish out the season now.
Yeah, you're going to get your jersey, Bear. Just let Thomas Rawls go out the rest of the season healthy so we have a legitimate shot. And that's all I ask because let's bring up the bet.
Yeah, exactly. You got to represent the division.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hope no one gets hurt. But again, we're coached by Greg Williams. They're a nasty group. So
yeah.
I can't say anything for who's coming for who. But you guys are right. While we bring it up, we'll just hit a couple stats, you know. We mentioned a bet for the most rushing yards of the year, and we've got Gurley sitting currently on a amazingly high number of 740 rushing yards. I think that ranks him like 20th and below, even if I'm lucky.
Why don't we go to yards per game, guys? 56.9 yards per game.
Exactly. Thomas Rawls at 293. So unless he has a record-breaking end of the year, I can't wait to put on my new jersey.
Which, you know, facing the 49ers and, you know, some of those teams, you know.
You do have the Niners. That's true.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Yeah. But, I mean, in all realistic, you know, congratulations. It was a good bet, Bear. You know, the idea that it got decided a little bit by injury to this extent kind of stinks.
Which
out of like
banking on.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, hey, like I said, man of my word, we're doing this. Bought the jersey, gonna run the 40. We're gonna videotape it. We'll put it up on the Facebook. All the humiliation, because that's what you do. You make a bet and you follow through. That's what we're doing.
Oh yes, and we will retweet, repost. Yes,
you don't need to
resend.
Do that.
I'll call my mom. Make sure she watches it. We'll get everyone. We'll get everyone involved to make sure that everyone sees that dynamite. 40 time.
Yeah, no, that's what you need to do. I understand. That's how it goes. That's why, because I would do I do nothing less.
And we would expect nothing less if the tables were turned.
Next season, there's going to be plenty of bets popping up, and you're going to get Bear back. I know you will.
Well, I'm going to at least wager again.
I'd love to see him run that 40.
Oh, yeah.
I think the most disappointed person was James over here, thinking that he got to see me and film me run a 40. And now he's going, really? I thought the whole time for the bad season. Yeah, I was going to get to watch you huff and puff across a 40.
Yeah.
So, yes, I will be open to a rematch or any other bet you want to bring.
Perfect.
Maybe even a run back of this one. I don't know. I'll leave it up to you.
Okay. Well, we'll think on that.
And we'll start by accepting a loss by the Rams to our Seahawks in Seattle on Thursday. That would be a good start, too. No injuries and a loss.
That's free for us to give. Yeah, you know what? Actually, I'll give it to you.
Okay, good.
All right. Good. Well, guys, I do have one question for you about the Seahawks themselves. I know both Brandon and I and many 12s around the world are very conflicted about this team. We don't exactly know what to make of them. I mean, one week they're up beating Carolina, you know, like a redheaded stepchild. And, you know, the next week Aaron Rodgers comes out on one leg and, you know, scores a zillion points. And it's just kind of tough to get a handle on. Being a division rival, being from the outside looking in, what is your sense of this team?
Well, I think personally for me, it was pretty apparent early in the season that the Seahawks were in that Super Bowl conversation. I think wasn't going to be a surprise to anybody that they were going to win this division. I was hoping that we would give them a little more competition. But, you know, we've always kind of seen the Seahawks as one of those big power teams. So we mentioned earlier that this division early in the season was looking pretty strong, and now we're looking pretty weak. So from my perspective, you know, I don't think we're expecting much out of the Rams this season. And the outlook for the Seahawks for me is thumbs up.
Well, so I guess to kind of add to that is I think the whole nation is kind of where Seahawks Nation is at, is going one week you go and, you know, win in New England and look great doing it. And then, you know, you go a couple weeks later and you play the Packers on the road, who have been up and down, but also a great team in December, and look really, really bad. You lost a big key to your defense in Earl Thomas. Obviously, you got massive players still surrounding that defense. And your offense, of course, has been healthy and getting stronger. So that's good. And I really think it sets up to the end of the season, you guys really winning out, getting into that place where you can bring a game to Seattle. And that's always been a strength of you guys. And from there, it's just kind of that confident football, because those guys are dangerous late in the season. Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to a defensive game and making a big play, they've done it in the past. So like James mentioned in that, is being a part of our division is, while you guys go represent the NFC, we're really kind of pulling for you guys, because we hope we continue to beat you and go, at least, well, we beat the Super Bowl Seahawks.
Yeah, there you go.
So I think you guys still are in a good position. You need to build off these next three games, which, if you look at it, seem like an easier matchup for you guys, and really kind of build that continuity throughout the team defensively and offensively. Work on some of those things so when the playoffs hit, you guys are ready to make a run, because I think you got it in you. But there's some good teams in the Cowboys that it looks like you're going to probably, if you get there, you're going to have to go through them, you know, at home. So Maybe you can get Tony Romo to hold the kick again. I don't know. And see if we make the playoffs again. But, you know, I feel good about you guys.
We have one request. Yeah. Can Tony hold that ball?
Yeah. We'd like to see it. Well, guys, really want to thank you for coming on once again, and best of luck to you on Thursday night. But really, we hope you have very little luck.
Well, we understand that, and go Rams. We always love coming and talking to you guys. So anytime you want to have a chat or make a bet, let me know.
Likewise, man, it will be on. I promise you.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Well,
so
good
much,
luck
guys.
The rest of the year, guys.
You too. Go Hawks.
On this week's 3-3 Out, we're going under the knife to examine a compound fracture that is the current state of our beloved Seahawks. We'll discuss why our QB reminds us of the Nintendo classic RC Pro-Am, why this team can just use a whole lot more R&R, and just who amongst the D-line needs to dig deep and find a way back home. So dive into this week's 3-3 Out, which is written exclusively for the Seahawkers podcast.
The Seahawkers podcast is the official podcast of the official booster club of the Seattle Seahawks. Getting into the second half of the show. And, you know, if you want to become a member of the Seahawkers, you can go to Seahawkers.org. Check out any of the chapters in your area, including Montana, which it's a pretty good chapter.
Yeah.
And yeah, find out if there's a chapter in your area. You can sign up right there. It's really handy. Seahawkers.org. All right, as we get in, why don't we welcome a few new members of the flock, Adam?
All right.
Willie Fletcher, welcome to the flock. He's in the Ring of Honor. And
Welcome, Willie.
Yeah, welcome, Willie. And then John Shin updated his pledge. He's given us a little bit extra now, too. So thanks for that, John.
Oh, you bet, dude. Again, that Ring of Honor stuff is a lot of fun. It's really stunk being stuck at the mall and busy.
Yeah, you missed out. It was a good chat.
I know it was. I'm bummed, man. I can't wait till this Santa crap's over. Oh, do we have more people to invite into the flock?
That's it this week.
Okay, cool. Because I have one little story from the Santa booth that I need everybody's help with. Okay. So I walk into the mall today, and Santa's there, and he's going to go and get changed from his civilian clothes. Mm-hmm. And we go in the back, and that's where I'll have all my stuff. And he pulls out a bag, like a shopping bag, and it's tied up on the top. He goes, so I found this in my closet. I've had it for like 7-8 years, and I had no idea what to do with it. And he'd seen me lament over the lucky hat, like meltdown, buy this hoodie, like, and do all that. So he goes, I didn't know what to do with it, but here you go. And he hands it to me, and I open it up, and it's a Seahawks hat. And it's the logo colors from like Hasselback era Hawks, not exactly like the old school logo, but not the new one. Right. So, but a very nice hat, very nice. And so here's my conundrum. Is this a semi-lucky hat or a good hat because it now has Santa magic, or, and this is important, is this a Trojan hat because Santa is a Cowboys fan and he's doing this so that I mistakenly wear it at some point and screw us over throughout the season?
I think we might need the listeners to weigh in because I see where you have concerns. Mm-hmm. But I do like the idea of Santa magic.
I do too. And he has a twinkle in his eye. Like he seems like a genuinely good dude.
Right.
But that's how Trojan hats get started.
Like seems like a good dude. He's Santa. He is a good dude.
I know. Well, some Santas aren't good dudes, i.e. bad Santa. Like, so this is it. I'm very concerned and conflicted.
Well, we'll have to hear what other folks have to say. And we do have some emails. We have a call. So we're going to get to all of that in this show. Also wanted to thank Daniel Weinholz. He sent along a couple more buck knives to use as prizes.
Cool, man.
I would announce Pick'em prizes this week, but we're doing this early.
Right.
And Monday Night Football, I think, did it just get over?
I think so.
So I don't think we have scores yet. So we'll get into that next week. Mm-hmm. Also wanted to thank SM Marketing Specialties for the cool stamps that they sent along. You know, we talked about the mailing.
We did.
And so now we have the Seahawkers stamp there.
That's sick.
And then we have the address stamp. So
what? Holy cow.
I'm glad you're here in person that you can actually see these now.
These are super rad.
Isn't that cool?
Awesome. Thanks, dude. That's awesome, man.
So, yes, thanks to everybody who is helping to support the show. We also had somebody buy Seahawks tickets and support the show that way. Go into SeahawkersPodcast.com/support, bought some game tickets. That helps out the show. We had a couple of people buy jerseys, you know, maybe Christmas presents.
Oh, wow. Okay, so they do this how? So they use our affiliate codes?
They just go to SeahawkersPodcast.com/support. And there's a whether you're buying a jersey, whether you're buying tickets, if you buy it, if you click on the link at SeahawkersPodcast.com/support, it will get kicked back to the show.
Awesome. Well, for those of you who have done that, thank you. And for those of you thinking about do it, please do that. And also, more of you, get in the flock, man. A dollar a month gets you the bonus shows, gets you some stickers, gets you some cred. Like it's pretty cool, and it really does help us out. So get in the flock.com. Get that done.
And if you get tickets to the level that this last person purchased tickets for, you get an executive producer credit. So if you were that person, shoot us an email.
Yes.
Let us know so we can verify it was in fact you, and you'll get executive producer credit on the next show.
I like that. Yeah, because it's earned.
Yes, it is. All right. Let's start out, Adam, with a voicemail.
Okay.
What's up, gentlemen? My name is Jeremy, and I live in Orange, California. And I was curious about the Seahawks record against NFC opponents. I was wondering if there was, in the Russell Wilson era, if there were any teams in the NFC that we have not beaten. And so I looked it up, and it turns out there are none. So the Seahawks have beaten all 15 other teams in the NFC. But then I started wondering, well, hey, what about the AFC? And as you know, we only play the teams in the AFC once every 4 years, so for most of these teams, we basically only had one crack at them. This is Russell's the second crack at the AFC East. But of the 16 AFC teams, the Seahawks have beaten 12 of those 16 teams in the last 4 years. The only team that they have not beaten in the last 4 years, can you guess? They are the Cincinnati Bengals, the Indianapolis Colts, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the San Diego Chargers, all of whom they played on the road. So basically, every single AFC team that they played at home, they beat. And of the other eight, they beat half of them on the road and lost to the other half. So I thought that was pretty interesting that of the 31 other teams in the NFL, the Seahawks in the last 4.5 years have beaten all but four. That's crazy. And then if you care, I was interested in how many of the teams in the NFC they've beaten. You know, how many locations they have won in, how many stadiums they've won in, kind of like the thing where, you know, how many stadiums has Mark McGwire hit a home run in or whatever. And of the 15 teams in the NFC, the Seahawks have won. And of those 15 stadiums, all but four in the last 4 years again. So they still have not won in Lambeau. Hopefully they correct that this weekend. They have not won in the new Silverdome, whatever that's called, Ford Field. They have not won in the Pirate Ship, and they have not won in the Superdome in the last 4 years. So hopefully they can fix this and get another crack at some of those four teams. Hopefully they can take out the Packers this week and take out some of the other three next season. But anyways, thank you for the good work. I just wanted to share that.
Jeremy doing some research.
Oh my gosh, he just went beautiful mind on us. That's fantastic. And it really, he brings the detail that he goes into in the sense of how many of these teams that we have beaten around the NFL just since Russell Wilson has been your quarterback. That really is staggering. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm more blown away by it than you, Brandon.
I am blown away to think that there's only four teams left that Russell Wilson has to take down.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jeremy, unfortunately, he did not get it done in Lambeau.
Because we're cursed, Adam. I talked about this last week. It's a curse.
You breathed life into this curse. You have.
No.
I did it.
No, it's...
It's your fault. Not. It's your fault.
It hasn't happened since 99.
But you gave it credence. You brought it into the light.
No, sir. I may have reminded people that it's actually there, but
it's like it should be like Voldemort. It should be the thing that shall not be named.
Until you know there is a curse, what are you going to do about it? Not wear your wolf gray uniforms like that. That was how
Can we talk about that for 2 seconds?
That was how you combat curses. And it didn't work. Not even the wolf grays could work.
That
The magic's gone.
Maybe. But so I remember sitting in front of Santa and like I've got it on my phone. You know, the game as I'm watching the booth and he looks at it and I go, "Oh, we're in the Wolf Grace. We're winning this."
Not so much.
That bums me out. That was one of the more fun.
Do you think
stats.
The tie in Arizona took it out? It took the magic out of the Wolf Grays?
Took the starch out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something.
I like the post on Twitter though that now we can put the fight, because there has to be a fight to get throwback uniforms. And I know there's the issue with the helmet color, but there needs to be a fight to make this happen, because the helmet color thing's BS for one.
Oh, this is the dumbest thing in the world.
And I don't know why. Maybe you can't just decal, you know, put an entire decal over the helmet if you want to have an authentic helmet color.
You're telling me the teams can't afford another set of helmets for the team? Well, in a different color
and how is that decals? And how is another helmet a safety issue? You're telling me that these guys wear the exact same helmet all year?
I hope not. They get wore the hell out.
Right?
Yeah. So, yeah. No, that's dumb. B, that's dumb. And C, doesn't the league want to make more money? Like, if you have, like, some throwback helmets that people are... Put Russell Wilson.
You're selling jerseys and helmets.
Yeah, no, instead we get this abomination of action green, you know, something that looks like from the Ninja Turtles running around out on the field this next Thursday. Thanks, NFL. You're stupid.
A part of me likes the action green, but I've explained
it's
that.
It's the wrong part of you.
Well, let's get into some more email, Adam. Okay. Here's one from Mark in the East Bay. Says, "Hello again, chaps." And he says in a posh English accent for maximum effect.
Oh, yeah, we can't do that.
I don't know if I could do that.
No.
I think it'd probably end up sounding like that.
Hello.
And I don't think that's posh.
It's a terrible English accent. Right. Let's not read it with that.
that's not posh at all.
No, it's awful.
Mark, the transplanted Englishman from the East Bay here. While the Hawks' performance this season has been more up and down than a pair of horse drawers, I have to
solid. That was solid. My grandpa would be very proud of that one, actually. Yeah.
I have to say that the performance of both of you on the show has consistently been right up there. However, I'm getting concerned that Adam is letting things slip. On recent shows, he's dropped comments about the English use of pants and even mentioned the word underwear.
Right?
It's a show about football, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, and they wear underwear.
Last week, though, he really hit bottom. 32 minutes into a rousing show, he described the now indelible image of Justin Britt and the center's role of putting balls in the quarterback's hands.
Yeah.
We've all known for some time that Russell has a fine touch for sexy deep balls, but I'm sure Ciara would be totally shocked if she knew all this was happening in the heat of the moment and when the offensive line are bent over waiting for the action to start. I maybe had to put like a PG-13 rating before this email.
Yeah, I guess.
Hopefully the Hawks will stay right in there and get to play with the Cowboys before going all the way with the Patriots in Houston. But Adam, you need to do better and keep things clean going forwards or backwards. Changing the subject, are any listeners planning to go to the Niners game on New Year's Day? It has to be the cheapest way to see the Hawks this season, and the stadium is a lot better than the Niners team that plays there. What's the best way of connecting with fellow Hawkers going to the game? Keep up the strong performance week in and week out, guys. Go Hawks, from Mark.
Go Hawks, Mark. Well, I understand all you English people are all real repressed with your feelings and talking about stuff, but I'm pretty sure underwear and hands and balls, like, isn't the bottom of the floor. I think we're all going to be okay. I don't think we've gone there too far. And this coming from the guy who has the phrase like a horse drawers, you know, so I'm not saying.
Yeah. Everything after I read that, that's what it. You can throw it out.
Yeah.
But and Mark's right about that stadium in San Fran. I saw a picture tweeted out of pregame.
Mm-hmm.
There were maybe 1,000 people in the stands.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
In San Fran. So you can easily go there and outnumber San Francisco
cool.
fans.
Yeah. So go and meet up with Mark, man. That'd be awesome. I wish I wasn't stuck here.
Yeah. Seahawks Road Crew Facebook page is the place to find out where all of the Hawks fans are going to be.
Okay.
And so that's where I would go to find out where folks are. And then, we'll have to find a way to where, I'm sure Mark probably wouldn't mind me giving out his email to people who are mailing in. I don't want to give it out on air, but
no.
If you guys want to get together, I can help facilitate.
Yeah. We'll bring people together like we do.
Riley Burke on Twitter says Seahawkers Pod at Seahawkers Pod, and Riley is at Riles 253. Could you see the Seahawks bringing back Money Lynch for leadership with Earl Thomas injured?
I think we touched on this on the last show, right?
I know.
Okay. So, yeah. Is it going to happen? No. I sure wish it would, though.
I sure wish it would. But I think that leadership, as far as... you don't see Earl Thomas necessarily as that vocal leader. You know, Cam Chancellor really is kind of the heartbeat of the defense and really that leader on defense. He's the guy that wears the C.
Yeah.
You know, he's the captain of the defense. So in that sense, I don't know. But to have kind of just that, you still have that guy, I guess. But it would be cool to have Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
On the other side of the ball.
Definitely. It would be sweet. But unfortunately, I don't think it's happening. But
no.
Sure would be cool.
No. Here's one from the Mule.
Yes.
This one's kind of sad. It says, hi, Adam and Brandon. After last Sunday's dominant win, I am stoked for this playoff run. As excited as I was for the upcoming game with Green Bay, I was blown out of the water when my awesome girlfriend got us tickets to see the game live.
Oh, wow.
I am planning to wear my new Lynch jersey I wore during the Panthers win. I hope my chakras hold. I wish Thomas was in, but I'm confident the LOB can hold. Here's to another Super Bowl win. Go Hawks. From the Mule. Someone needs to check on Josh to make sure he's okay.
Yeah. Can we get somebody over there like stat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I know he's in the Green Bay area.
And just know that your girlfriend does love you. It's not that she hates you.
Right.
She had no idea. She had no idea that this game was going to turn out like this.
No.
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 She bought those tickets out of love.
She did buy them out of love.
Yeah. So hang in there, Josh.
It's going to be okay.
It had been tough. But all the places, stadiums to be in, I feel like Green Bay hecklers, you'd probably wouldn't be the worst. Be like,
no.
Hey, you know, go down there and start scoring some points, eh? Because they're also Canadian.
And that's the worst of it.
Yeah, and that's about it.
He probably got lots of hugs on the way out.
Probably. Yeah.
And
Sure. Your team sure did try hard. You know?
Yeah. I'd love to go.
This is the last show we do accents.
The last show you do accents. My drunk accent was on point.
Dude, you know what? On point for sure. Gold star for you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, Adam, what do you say we do an abbreviated Do Better and Better at Life this week? And why don't you take on the Do Better because you're clearly better at it than I am.
Well, that's because I'm the bigger jerk. So my Do Better this week is for none other than Christopher Sims. And he's drawn my ire a couple times, but I'm sure you all...
We gave him props not too long ago.
I know.
On the bonus show.
And then he's regressed. He's regressed. See, he's having some issues. Now, see, if for those of you who haven't seen it, Chris Sims gets on and he does his Sims in 60 seconds in his little thing about this week was about whether or not the Seahawks are now a Super Bowl contender. And not only does he say that the Seahawks are not a Super Bowl contender, but it is a joke that you would think that the Seahawks are Super Bowl contenders.
Joke?
Yeah. Basically, it's a joke. And it goes into the fact that...
But we have one of the best coaches of all time. He told us.
I know, but that doesn't matter anymore because this dude has... I need a doctor to go and check on Chris Sims and make sure both of his legs are still intact because he jumped off the bandwagon so fast, he had to have broken both legs. He had to have broken both legs.
It's the only explanation.
There's the only explanation. But anyways, he goes down through this list of things of how, you know, the Seahawks are no longer a Super Bowl contender. They're the aging defense and loss of Earl Thomas. And the idea that, you know, they're running the same tired offensive scheme and it used to work because of Marshawn Lynch and now Russell Wilson can't just carry the water. And the idea at the end of it is that the Seahawks are no longer a Super Bowl contender. I got a question, Chris. I got a serious question. You know what my question is? Who then is a Super Bowl contender this year? Give me one team in this league that isn't flawed. Because you can't find one. Every single one of them has flaws. Therefore, there are no Super Bowl contenders this year. Roger Goodell's just going to keep the trophy locked up if you have it to give for Chris Sims's way. So, Chris Sims, pull your head out of your butt and do better.
Yeah, I only needed to see the headline on that video. I didn't click.
I had to.
Yeah.
I had to.
You have no, what do you call that?
Chutzpah? Because you just made like a grabbing somebody's balls motion like when you answered that question. I don't know.
Self-control.
No, that's why instead of drinking one beer, I drink four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need to click on that. Just know that Chris Sims needs to do better.
Or click on it just so you can hear the ridiculousness of it.
Well, sometimes that's entertaining. And I was going to mention after Jeremy's call that because Jeremy in Orange, he'd called in a week or so ago. And I had it queued up to play because he was going off on us about the Prisco, you know, talking about Prisco and clicking on his stuff.
Yeah.
And, I would say that... To Jeremy and anyone who thinks that we shouldn't talk about guys like Pete Prisco or Chris Sims, you know, I've never heard fans of Batman comic books tell the writers to stop writing in the Joker because he's, you know, too much of a jerk to the town of Gotham.
Sure.
I mean, you need villains and Pete Prisco is the Joker of Emerald City.
That's a solid. Yeah, absolutely. That's a solid. Analogy. Wow.
One of those things.
Yeah. It's solidly late.
We should close this out with Better Life. And my Better Life this week is for Stephen Fry. We mentioned earlier, Sounders won the MLS Cup and Stephen Fry was the MVP of that match. I never watched soccer, but I found myself watching the Sounders in that MLS Cup matchup on Saturday night. And besides the game ending in a tie, you know, much like the Seahawks and Cardinals game.
But then it didn't end in a tie.
No, but they actually have a way to break the tie at the end of the game. And I was entertained by it.
Okay. So I was at the bar grabbing dinner and with my coworker. And there were about five Sounders fans and they were into this, right?
Oh yeah.
And so of course, you know, your eyes are drawn to it and whatever. And it was unwatchable. It really was. It was so boring. But then finally the shootout comes around. And now that
you were tuned in.
That's TV.
Well, I have to say that Stephen Fry, that save that he made toward the end of the game where and I don't know, have you seen the picture of the side by side with Stephen Fry reaching up with his left hand and tipping the ball away from the goal with Sherman and his left hand tipping the ball?
Easy soccer guy. Yeah. Easy. All right.
They both led to championships, though.
Easy soccer guy.
Well, with that, Stephen Fry. Better at life than Skip Bayless.
I do have to say this, although I'm not a soccer guy, obviously, but it was fun to watch some people that were fired up about their team win a championship and just that championship joy that sweeps over them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were so jazzed.
I remember when I was in San Francisco when the Giants were, it was the 2014 World Series run. I went into Berkeley to watch the game at a bar for game seven, because I wanted to experience that just to be around the people as they experience that joy of winning a championship, because now we know what it's like.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see that happen in other people.
It was. And here's the one thing that I took umbrance with is one of the gals, she's like, finally. Finally.
You've been a team for like 5 years.
Well, okay, no, they've been longer than that, but they've only been in this league for like seven or nine.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's been so long. And I looked at her and I go, we were established in 1979 and we did not win a championship until 2013.
Yeah.
Shut up about finally.
76 is the first year of the team.
Oh, but well, that's because it's late.
You were born in 79, so it's
right.
Easy to get it mixed up.
Exactly. They look the same. Just depends on what side of it you're
I think technically on. Established in 1975, but whatever. Whatever.
Don't make it, no, never mind. Long freaking been a long time ago. It was before I was born. How do I know those dates? Don't make no never mind.
Your point is well taken, though.
Yeah, geez.
All right, Adam. Well, it is getting late, but you know what? We're getting a show out on a Tuesday.
You're welcome. Yes.
For a Thursday game.
Very true. And I think this will work nicely for us this week, too, with everything we've got going on. So glad to get this out early for you guys. I know there's a couple posts on the Facebook saying that it was needed. Hopefully this helps with all of you who are freaking out a little bit about this loss. But all I got to say is, really, just chill. It's going to be okay. And I think with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks!
Go Hawks!
We're still going to the Super Bowl. We'll be right back.
thanks for tuning in to this week's show. As we mentioned, you can go to seahawkerspodcast.com/support. Maybe you're buying a jersey for a special someone, or buying a jersey for yourself, or maybe you're going to get tickets to a game.
You can maybe go
to,
you're buying a jersey to fulfill a bet.
That's exactly how I bought that jersey. And you know what? It kicked money back to the show.
That is serendipitous. You know what's better than a win, Brandon? Two wins. You know what? And the thing about that is that if you do this for us, guys, if you go ahead and you buy your stuff just like you already would, and you do it through these affiliate links, you win, we win, all the wins, more wins for everyone.
Yep. You can get your stuff at Amazon. You can get your jersey purchases at Fanatics. You can get your tickets to a game. And yes, it all gets kicked back to the show. And you don't have to pay anything extra. You go to seahawkerspodcast.com/support, and you can help us out there.
Holiday cheer, people. Start spending money with the Seahawkers podcast.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.